I'm so happy to be here. And since we came yesterday to Brother Rick and Pat's house, we felt that we are home, we are in a family. And we are encouraged very much today also to be in our big family in Kansas City, in Pebble Creek. And I would like to thank you so much, to thank the American Church, the American Assemblies of God Church, because of you, we are here. And the Holy Spirit gave me to start with this story. Last century, in 1911 and 1914, the Lord sent two ladies to Egypt from the United States, from EGWM. One of them, very well known, her name is Lillian Thrasher. I think some of you read about her or heard about her. She came to Asyut, to a city far from our city, like 100 miles to the south. And she started a big work with a very little seed. With one child, she started the biggest orphanage in the Middle East, that now serving like 30,000 child since she started this work. So she did a great job for the Lord in Egypt because of your sending, because of your helping the missionaries to go to the field. Another lady, and because of her, we are here today. Her name is Mabel Dean. She is from Chicago. I was in her church, Mother Church, last month. She is from Stony Church. And this lady came with another burden. Lillian came with a burden for the children, but Mabel came to planting church planting. She worked for my city. And one of these churches was my home church, local church. And she planted 40 churches in the 50s of last century. She walked on foot from city to city, from village to village, in a very dangerous environment for a lady, for a single, beautiful American lady to move from place to place to preach the gospel and to plant churches. So my first thing, thank you very much for your missional heart. The heart of God is missions. From the beginning of creation to the coming of Jesus Christ to the day when the church was born, till today, the heart of God is reaching people. And we are reached through this ministry, the ministry of the Assemblies of God in the United States. Thank you so much for that. Let's give hand to the Lord for the work of missions in the United States. And the day come when God called us to come here. And I believe it's called because it comes not by our will or by our, we obeyed. But I believe that God has a way to work things. He's the one who made a way and makes a way today for the ministry. I grew up in the Assemblies of God Church. My wife has a different background, but I was not born again from my mother's womb. I born again when I was 19, when I went to college. But I grew up in the environment of the Holy Spirit manifestations of gifts. I grew up seeing my family, my father, my mom, speaking in tongues and interpretation and prophecy and staying a long time worshiping the Lord. They came from the fields by the end of the day, every day, maybe eating dinner or not, but going to the church from 7 to 9 to worship God, to listen to the word of God, and hunger for the Holy Spirit. So they stayed a long time after the church to pray together as a family, as neighbors, in the midst of the majority of Muslim neighborhood. We were 1 to 5, Christian to Muslim. But we enjoyed that. And the Muslim people were sending oil to the church. They believe that if you pray on that oil, our children will be healed. And sometimes they say, our animals will be healed. And the Lord did that. According to their faith, the Lord made miracles among them. We saw them very peaceful and receiving the Pentecostal movement in their hearts. Because if they announce that, it will be dangerous for them. But many of them received Jesus as their Christ in secret because of their own families. But when I was 19, I discovered in one of my meetings I attended in that day that I am in need for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I opened my heart. And everything and at that moment, it changed it. I saw Christ as my own Lord and Savior, not only my father's God or my mother's God or my family's Savior, but my Savior. And I went back to my church, to my village, seeing everything new. The meetings is different than before. The services are different. The Bible is different. And when I attended the meeting that night, we have the prayer circle or meeting after the church. One of these elders of the church were speaking in tongues. But his tongues this time was in English. For the first time in my life, I heard one speaking in tongues in a living language. We have the languages of angels and of men. This time was of men. He's speaking in English in secrets, things in my life. He's speaking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which seemed to me that moment he will come now. The Holy Spirit described that and illustrated that Jesus is coming soon. And he will come soon. The Bible says that. I will come quickly. He will come quickly. He's coming very, very soon. So after this meeting, I was surprised. But not surprised very much, because I believe in the Pentecostal revelation of the Holy Spirit. So I went home hungry, thirsty for the Holy Spirit. I need it today, God. I need it today. I need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I need that. I need you are the one who baptized us with the Spirit of God. Come and baptize me. I believe in laying hands, but I need you. I need you to lay your hands on me and to baptize me. And I start fasting and waiting like 40 days. And at 2 a.m., I was alone and he came and baptized me with the Holy Spirit. I saw light filling the room and he came and I started to speak in tongues for several hours. I don't know how many of that, because I was very exciting. I was very happy for that experience that comes after salvation as a separate experience. It's not at the moment, but it came after that. So I went back, I went to church the next day, filled with power, boldness, and able to stand the first time in my life and to speak 5 minutes, calling people to repent, calling people to come to Jesus as the Savior and the Lord. And I went back to my college with a new power of the Spirit of God, trying to reach every student in my class, trying to speak the Word of God everywhere, because He will come soon, and this is your chance, and this is your opportunity to receive Him as your Lord. If you miss it, you will miss eternity. So I took Bibles, which is not allowed or legal to have it in the school, in the college. And I started to distribute Bibles. And one of the ladies, she's a Christian colleague, came to me and said, Gamal, are you crazy? I said, what? I did you distribute the Bible in the college, which is not allowed. Go out now, and I pray for you that the Lord hide you from the security, because if you are arrested, you will lose your college and may end by jail. I said, okay, no problem, I do that, and I believe God will secure and will keep me. And I went out, and it was okay, but it was not the only time to speak the gospel. It's not allowed for us as Christians in Egypt to speak the gospel in public, but we do it. And we have some people who are doing it today because the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. And he will protect his laborers. The people who are working for God, God is keeping them. Pastor, God will keep and protect the church. No one can harm the church because this is the church of God. The gates of hell will not prevail, will not destroy the church because he is the one to protect his work. He is the one to do that. My friends, I would like to make it short, but when I finish my school, I feel the fire of the Holy Spirit in my heart and the call of God was very strong, but I was very stubborn and lazy to obey the Lord. I went to secular work for 7 years as a teacher to teach English. And every day the Holy Spirit came and knocked on my shoulder and saying, this is not your place. I need you. I want you for full-time ministry. I said, Lord, I'm serving you at school. That's good. No one can come to school and being, we have a religious period at school in Egypt, in the public schools. So I had to teach English and to have the Christian periods and teach the students. And the Holy Spirit were moving strongly among the teenagers in this moment. I met one of the ladies in one of the churches that I pastored later. And she said, I'm your daughter in Christ. I said, where and when? She said, in one of your Christian religious periods, you were speaking about the salvation. I received Jesus, and I baptized in the Holy Spirit at this moment. I said, Lord, you are working. Pastors, you will see great harvest that you have not seen here when we go to heaven. We will see the fruits of your ministry. You have a great fruit that's not seen by you now. You will see it in heaven. Brothers, I obeyed God. But during my work, I met my beautiful partner and wife, Amal. Her name is Amal. And in English, Amal, because of the vowel. And she has a different story than me. God's story with you is different than mine. He has different stories in every life. And her life was very different. But the Lord, I was praying for her, for my coming wife, for 5 years. And the Lord, he said, yes, this is the lady that I appointed for you to be with you in the ministry. I did that. We came to agreement to get married together. And how God prepared her life for the ministry, for receiving Jesus, was a wonderful manifestation of the Holy Spirit in her life. While she is living in a Coptic Orthodox church, which is similar to the Catholic Church, they have their own tradition, their own style of worshiping God, but the Lord did that with her. I'm going to give her the time to speak about her life.
Before everything, I would like to tell you thank you for your support and thank you for you opened the door for us today to speak among you. Thank you, pastors. My name is Amal, like he told you, and I born in Egypt. We have 3 children. We have Martina, 25, and Rita, 23, and Patrick, 11 years old. He stay home with his sisters. We ask him to come with us, but he say, I would like to stay with my sister because she's come from the college. I would like to be with her today. I born in Egypt among 5. I have a big family. I have 5 brothers and 1 sister. And my family lives in the village. In our village, like, have, like, 5,000 people lives in the village. I only have 1 church in this village, have a Coptic Orthodox church, similar, like, Catholic church, or more stronger, I think. And traditional, we went to church every night, and I go with my family. But I see in my life, I was 17, before 17, and I see my life, not change, or I don't have something different in my life. Like, as I go, as I come back home, and I love Jesus, I would like to be with him, because we have many rules in the church. Have to keep yourself away from the sin, and you have to obey and listen to a priest. You don't discuss on the Bible, or you don't read the Bible, you just listen to him. And I like, they believe after you're born, you're baptized by the water, you already have the salvation, you already have the Holy Spirit, you don't need anything else. And I say, but I am the same, I don't have something different in my life, and I would like to be with Jesus, but he hate us, because he have many rules, and we can't do everything he needs from us. And I love him, but I would like to be with him, but he do love us. And he hate us. How, why he came for us and die on the cross? For everybody, but I see we can't go to heaven because we are leaving the earth. We have many mistakes. How can we go to heaven? And I was crying sometime and ask God, I would like to be with you. And I want to sleep one night, and I saw Jesus come in my dream, and he's covered all the area where I live, and everybody in this area ran away with him, and he's looking to me, and I look into him, and he, like, he loved me. He would, like, told me, I love you, I know you. Like, all the world, how many millions of people, but I hear in your voice, and I know you, and I came for you. And I woke up the second day, and I remember that dream, and I said, wow, Jesus loved me, and hearing my voice, and see my tears. How this happened? He's not far from me, like I am that. And my brother, his youngest and me, had the same dream. And he came, told me that dream, and he said, I saw Jesus last night, and everybody in this area ran away from him. And I look into him, and he's looking to me, and I say, well, this is the same my dream. How this happened? He said, I didn't know, but he's so beautiful. And I was afraid, but I see him. He loves me. I don't afraid from him. And I continue praying. And long time, I know, since this time, I feel I am comfortable because I know, like, he's not far from me. He's close from me. And I met my husband after that. He's from Assemblies of God Church. But we are in the church thinking about the crazy people because they have a different worship, and they clap, and they jump. But in my church, we just sit and be respectful and quiet. You don't speak. You don't just. And it's a different different tradition. But some of my friends ask me, they crazy people, how you go married? I say, we would like to try. I hear in a bow for this church. They have a bow out of God. And God speaking through in them. He do miracle through in them. But I've never been to church before. I just went to my church, and I get married with him. I went to church together. I see them old man is speaking tongue in so loud. And I say, what is he doing? He's scaring me. And I'd like to go run away from the church. But I just say, okay, I will sit down until they're done. And I go ask my husband after that. And I ask him, say, this is the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid. I said, this is new for me. I didn't see that before. And I read the Bible because before I didn't read the Bible, I would like to tell you something. My childhood, it was difficult and different. Because we're a big family. I have many brothers. My dad, his work was out the country. And my mama home was my brother and sister. And all of them went to school, but I am not. She forgot me. And my dad wasn't in the city. And when he's come back, he tried to send me to school. But they say she's old now. She's 8 years old. We can't take her in first grade. And I say, I was crying because I need to go to school. I see my friend, this went to school every day. They walk in and go. And I was very upset and very miserable because I wish and I go, but I can't. You know, when I was remember that time, I was crying all the time and so miserable. But now I'm not crying because God healed me. And he wiped all my tears because I was crying and miserable, but I decided to learning. And I say, okay, I learning at home. When my brother came from the school, I see what he's having in school, and I start asking him to teach me, and I start reading the books, and I went to do adult school by myself. When I finished the elementary, I finished the middle school by myself, but I get married before the high school. And after I married, my husband encouraged me to go to high school and finish the college when I have my daughters. And since that time, after we read the Bible and he explained to me the Bible, I accepted Jesus in my heart because I didn't see that before. I haven't hearing about for Jesus what he's. I know he's come and he's lived in the earth, but I don't know all the story he's done here. I hear about for the healing, he healing the people, he's raised up from the death. He doing an amazing job here. That's touched my heart. Since this time, I would like to be like his disciples. I say, okay, I would like to go talk to everybody, talk to my family, talk to my friends. I need everybody to know Jesus because they don't know him. I accept Jesus in my heart, and I baptize by the Holy Spirit. I feel everything changed in my life. I love everybody. After I was have many issues in my heart, against my family or a friend or someone. But God changed me. And I was praying, and God showed me the vision that time. I'm here, and I speak English and preach in the churches here in America. And I say, how can this happen? I don't know English. How can I go to another country? But God told me this is not yet. This is later. But after 18 years, when we decided to come here, I don't want to come here, but God reminded me about that vision I saw like 18 years ago. And I know God has planned for us to come here for the people. But we would have ministry, we would have friends, we would have a church. And I said, God, this is not easy to go to start from beginning another country. We don't know anyone, we don't know English. I don't know English, he was knows English. And my daughter knows, but I am not. But we obey and come. We don't know where to go, but we come. But it was hard time for me. You don't know anyone. You don't know English. You don't know how to conversation with everybody. It was hard for me. Just one day, the lady, as I was working with her, she told me, I will go to the bathroom and you stay here. And I don't know what she's about, what she's talking about. I just go follow her. She looking behind her. She saw me. She said, where are you going? I said, no. She said, no, come stay here. I said, okay. But God helped me too much. And we was praying for the ministry here. We was in the ministry in American organization called Heartland Ministry. But I know this is not our ministry. I respectful that and I love that. And God teach us a lot from them. He was prepared us for this ministry, I think. But I was praying long time, and my husband too, for the ministry among the Arabs and Muslims people. And God opened the door last year to St. Louis. We don't know anyone there, but we found 10,000 people there. They need Christ. And we just go, follow our God call. And we found the people there. We connected with some of them. And God is good. He's opened the door for us. We have last Friday, the first meeting was 14 of them. Three of them was Muslims. But this first meeting with them. And we had good time with them. Pray for us to continue. And God help us to reach other, reach more of them. And thank you so much for your time.
It's God's way to do things when we surrender to him. As my wife said that when she won the diversity visa lottery, I don't know if you are familiar with this program, twice in her life. The first time in 2004 and the second time was 2013. So we came to Heartland Ministries. Pastor Charlie Sharp, he's from Kansas City. I don't know if anybody heard about him. But he was a great man of God. I met him in a pastor's conference in Egypt many times. So when we have this opportunity to come, we said, we can come just for 3 months and have our green card issues and go back. But God has a different plan. He asked us, he connected us to stay in this nation for a reason, for such a time, to reach 10,000. I believe by myself I will not do it, or together we'll not do it, but we have the plan to reach them for Christ and to train them and to send those who are trained to reach others. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me last March. He said to me, it's not about planting a church. It's beyond. And I don't know the meaning of the word beyond, but he knows. It will be a great harvest for the kingdom of God. The Muslim people are in need for Christ. The Lord sent them here because it's very difficult, as I said, to reach them for Christ in the Middle East. And he sent us here to reach them here. It's easier, not very easy, but easier than in the other side of the world. Easier to speak to them the word of truth here. Easier to show them the love of Christ. There are many of them are very good people. They are not. We are not about people. If we say this is about the spirit of Islam, but not about the Muslim people. The Muslim people are very good people. They are created in the image of God. And they are in need for Christ to change their lives. So we are here. And by your prayers and your support, we'll be able to do that. We moved to the city of St. Louis with 15% of our budget, which is crazy. Crazy step. I just jump into the step of faith. And I trust God to do the work, the impossible. We do the possible, but he is going to do the impossible. He will do that. And during the 3 months, God raised up to 24 in our budget, 24%. But we're still working with friends and more relationships for the kingdom of God. We trust him. The most important thing is the souls. One soul, do you know how much cost Jesus for one soul? How much money? It was not money. It was his blood. One soul equals the blood of Jesus. One soul come to the kingdom of God equals the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God's life. He shed his own blood on the cross for the souls. So we are about the kingdom, about the souls, and he will protect us. And he will support us. And I promise you to keep you posted, to keep you updated with every step. We'll pray for you. We're ready to receive your prayer request. And please keep us in your daily prayer. Pray for us. We need that. It's not easy, but Jesus said, I will be with you all the days. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to share few minutes. We have 10 minutes or 5? 10, okay. 5? I'm here for you. I'm going just to read 3 verses from the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And the Holy Spirit gave me this word especially for you in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the last verse. And he said unto them, I'm reading from King James Version, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For so much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. You'll receive power. They came to the Lord with a discussion that we have today. What is the time of the second coming of the Lord? And what is the time when he restores the kingdom? When the Lord will reign over the earth and the millennium come? And what about eschatology? What about the ends of the times? But the Lord said to them, you have another task. It's not today for discussions. It's today for witness. It's not the day for debates. It's the day for evangelism, for preaching the gospel. And the way to preach the gospel, I will show you how. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. What is the message of our preaching, my friends? The message is not doctrine. It's a person. It's the person of Christ. If you read the four Gospels, you find starting with the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go to this chapter 15 of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you will see that Paul is speaking about the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is about the divine personality of Christ. God incarnated, God came into this earth. He lived a holy life. He showed people how God loves them, in healing them, in feeding them, in teaching them, in being compassionate to them. But finally, he was arrested and killed, if we can say that. But it's not the way. He was not arrested. He delivered himself. He surrendered himself. He submitted himself to the will of God. No one had the authority to kill Jesus because he is God. But God, Jesus gave his life freely for every one of us. He died. He crucified. And he was buried for 3 days and 3 nights. But glory to God, he raised again from the dead. And he is alive today, giving salvation and life and freedom to everyone who believes in him. Hallelujah. Yes. Give him the glory forever. This is the message of the gospel. But what is the power of the gospel? Jesus said, you will receive power to preach that when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And my friends, it was not too long. It was just 10 days waiting in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came. And we need him to come again for every one of us. Because this is the power to carry the good news for everyone. If we compare between Peter before and after the day of Pentecost, you will find him very different. He denied Jesus before the day of Pentecost. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he preached Jesus openly and publicly and boldly without fear because of the Holy Spirit. You need it. I need it. I need it every day. I need him every day. I need the power of the Spirit to carry the gospel. Not me. It's not about me. I'm very scary. I'm very afraid. I'm a human being. But when we have the power of God in us, we can carry that good news farther to the nations, to the nations. But finally, my friends, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. I love that. Not in vain. Every moment, a glass of water, which is free, will not be in vain. One penny for the missions field, not in vain. One prayer for the laborers and for the missionaries is not in vain. Go ahead. Go forward. Work for the Lord. You know, if you compare between working for God and working for the world, you know, Solomon in the Old Testament saying that everything in this under the sun is vanity of vanities. Everything here is in vain. When I have a lot of money or positions or so and so, without Jesus, in vain. One day I'm going to leave everything and go without anything. But when I work for the Lord, hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord for that. When I work for Jesus, I will won here, I will win here, and I will win there. When I come to the end of my life, Jesus will say, come in. Faithful servant, you served me. You served me in your short life. I will serve you for eternity. And my friends, he served us first. We serve him because he served us. We love him because he loved us. I want to conclude with you with prayer. Please, let's stand and pray together. It's a time of work of the Lord. It is a time to preach the word to the people, to the peoples that God has sent to our nation, to reach them for him, to fill heaven with peoples, with nations. He is a God of missions. He started it with Adam and Eve as for all creation, for all the people. And he asked Abraham to go, and he said to him, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to all nations. You will be a father of many nations. He confirmed that to David. He sent his son finally to bless the whole world. For God so loved the world. You ready to do that? He wants to give you the power to speak boldly the message of the gospel to your co-workers, to your family, to your neighbors. The world is in need for your voice. You are the light. You are the salt. You are the one who God called today to do the work, knowing that your work and your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Is not in vain. If the Holy Spirit is calling you today for full-time ministry, for part-time ministry, please obey him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I would like to conclude this with praying in Arabic for you to listen to this new language. ربنا يسوع بشكرك من كل القلب. بباركك لأنك صالح لأن إلى الأبد رحمتك لأن إلى دور فدور أمانتك. نشكرك لأنك عظيم تبارك شعبك في بابل كريك تبارك الأسيس جي سي تبارك كل حد في هذا المكان تبارك عملك في أمريكا تبارك عملك في الشرق الأوسط تبارك المرسلين وتبارك الخدام وتعلن مجدك بقوة غير عادية. أرسل الروح القدس لكنيستك في هذا المكان يا رب. احمل كنيسة من كل تعديات العدو بيحاول يتعدى على كنيستك. All this I pray in the mighty name and the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to take up a special offering for the Gyrgyz right now. And so you can use our offering system. Just grab an offering envelope. You can make out your check to Pebble Creek Assembly of God. Every dollar that we raise today will go towards their ministry. And if the gentleman can help him with that, we'll come forward again. Praise the Lord for people that are willing to go. Where so many people, I mean, there's probably a lot of people that would be intimidated to go into an Arab community, especially, I mean, God has prepared this couple. They know the culture. They know the language. They know it's just amazing what God does. And so we have an opportunity now to help sow seed into that ministry so that when they go, that they have the funds, they have the resources they need to do the things that God calls them to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for blessing this offering. We pray, God Almighty, that you take every dollar, Lord, every penny, multiply it, Lord. Use it as you have purposed it to reach these Arab people, Lord, in St. Louis, and probably, Lord, even beyond. We pray, God, that you would bless each and every giver and their gift. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless your giving. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. People need the Lord. Thank God for our missionaries. We have a tradition here at Pebble Creek of praying for our missionaries. So I'm going to ask both of them to go about halfway down the center aisle. And I'm going to ask the congregation to stand, please. Yep, just go right down that center aisle about halfway. And the congregation will gather around you. We're going to pray and lift up Amal and Gamal. And their family. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one that calls people and couples and families, Lord, into ministry, into doing what you want them to do, Lord. And thank you that Gamal and Amal listened, Lord Jesus, that they obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We don't always fully understand. No, I don't think any of us understand exactly how you bring us or draw us or what plan you exactly have, but we can trust you, Lord Jesus. We can trust you. So I pray right now, Lord, that you would continue to open doors, Lord, into the Arab community in St. Louis. I pray, God, you would help them build a mighty and strong church, Lord, that is able to reach the rest of the Arabs and people of St. Louis, and even those people they reach will be able to go back and reach their families and the nations that they're from, Lord, throughout the Middle East. We pray, God, for a mighty revival to ignite and to take off, Lord, with many families and people coming into the kingdom. And I pray your anointing upon Gamal and Amal, Lord, and just protection, Lord, power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray for signs and wonders to be evident in their meeting time when they meet, Lord, to show the power of God and how much He loves each and every person, God. Wake up, Lord, the people, Lord, in this nation. Wake us up, Lord Jesus, to your reality and the power of your cross. And we just pray blessing on them. We pray, God, influence. We pray power, Lord, in Jesus' name, in your name. Amen. 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 They have a table in the back. If you'd like to stop by it, and if you have any questions you'd like to ask, I'm sure they'd be happy to answer them. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, back here. God bless.